22 days of the Omer, Daf Yudalev, in the Sefer Shabbat. And we're up to the part of the Mishnah, it says, Shmonasrei Davar Gazru Oto Hayom. So in the Aliyat Hananya Ben Chizkiah, they had a vote, Talmidei Beit Shammai V'Rabo, and there were goes there 18 things, and we already learned some of them, because the V'Elu means that the Ein Polin Ve'Ein Korin was part of the Yudchet Davar.
This is not the same Aliyah as Ingyus.
Second
Ingyus?
Second Ingyus was, yeah, yeah, Toayom wasn't on the Yom. Shmonasrei Davar Gazru Oto Toayom. My new Shmonasrei Davar. So what are the 18? Let's start with 9 that are mentioned here in the Sefer Zavim. It's 9. Elu poslim et ha-truma. The following things pasal truma. Now let's get a little bit of an introduction to this, once again to remember the main halachot. Basically, we know that mitzad ha-diyoraita and adam can be makabel tuma only from an av ha-tuma. The same is true of kelim. The only time that you can be an av ha-tuma is touching a mate, or tuma that's yotze migufo, which are like a zav or balkari, can be an av ha-tuma. Or it's possible to become an av ha-tuma also binogea b'moshav, in the moshavas of the zav and so on. The moshav itself can be metame, as even as an av ha-tuma in certain cases. Generally speaking, there's no such thing, therefore, as being makabel tuma from a rishon or a sheni and so on. However, we know that there were certain gezerot in which we were machmir even to be metame odom and kelim with mashkim. And the reason that we had those gezerot are because there are mashkim that can be metame you. For instance, mayanot hazav. So the zav spits on you. Be metame. The question is, the cases where we were machmer were cases where it would easily come to be metame truma, as we'll see. And therefore, we're going to list some of those gezerot. Now, furthermore, there's no such thing as a special case of achila, eating something tame. The only time that we find that there's a unique situation of eating, and this turns out to be the basis of a lot of gezerot, because we can't create gezerot utilizing modalities or ideas that don't come from somewhere in the Torah. You can't make up a new idea that an achila can be metame unless we find such a thing. Now there is one case in which specifically achila is metame, and that's nivlot of tahar. Because of that, we're able to also create a modality of tuma specifically through achila. Not that it has anything really to do with achila. There were two levels to that gezeira. One was an ancient takana that comes way before the time of the Shmonasrei Davar, as Tosis proves, which was called Tum'at Gviya. Tum'at Gviya meant that a person who had eaten foods that were tame of a certain level, as we had the sugya back in Chulin, it was considered to him that he was tame in terms of achilat truma. He became tame from eating truma. That's not what we're going to discuss here, and the shiur of achila over there, the din of pras, chatz pras, as opposed to kibetz and so on, is unique to tumat gviot. We're talking about over here maga, gezerot, in which a person is metame truma b'maga midrabanan. So what are these 18 things? We have over here in the Mishnah of Zavi. The following things are posel as a truma, meaning that if he touches the truma, again, the rule is that if you're talking about food of chulin, chulin is only makabel tuma. The food would be makabel tuma, obviously, from an ava tuma. Would be makabel tuma from a rishon latuma. But a sheni latuma doesn't affect chulin at all, if it's regular chulin. It is possible to create a situation where the chulin is treated like truma, and according to some like kodesh, that's called chulin shenasu atara truma, or chulin shenasu atara ta kodesh, so that people who were makbid on achilas kachim, achilas truma, would also take care to keep their chulin on the same level of tahara. You can't do that arbitrarily and have the chulin respond. There needs to be a psak halacha that defines the particularities of the way that the ochel will be makabel or not makabel tuma if you are noheg that way. Not everyone agrees that there exists a takana called chulin shenasu atara sakadesh. But assuming that it does, then you would treat it in many ways like kodesh. Chulin shenasu atara truma. The simplest case of which would be a case where you are going to actually take truma out of it. Now, let's say you made a dough. Now you're going to be taking out challah from that dough. You want to treat the entire isa as if it's the challah that is in it, because if you don't, then when you take out the challah, you're taking out the challah that's the meah. So you're careful that it shouldn't touch. So since your das is to take out challah from it, you're already makbid on the level of truma, of tuma that would affect truma.
It's not just the kohen who would do that, however.
Right, not necessarily. Okay, whatever the case is for whatever reason, used to be a hakpat in general, that people were very makbet to eat tyrus. And because of that, even regular people would eat, even their stam kula, not tyrus hakadesh. Now, the question is, truma, however, is more chomer than chulin, and it can be makabel tuma from a sheni. But when we say it can be makabel tuma from a sheni, it's not quite accurate, because remember the word tuma, by definition, means something that emits something that can be detected. In other words, tuma is something that if a tuma receptor will touch it, will become tummy. But the din is that something that is makabel tuma from a sheni, the tuma that's makabel tuma from a sheni, will never emit that tuma. And therefore, by definition, it's not tummy. Because you can't detect the tuma in it. But the thing is that the fact that it touched tuma makes it pasul. So that's called pasul as opposed to tuma. But it's a psul that comes from the negia betuma. And it's important to distinguish between the two. So by definition, when we use the word pasul, it means that's where it stops. When we use the word tameh, it means that under certain circumstances, this can be emitted to yet a lower level. Each time, it's attenuated. Now there's one case in which there's not only no attenuation, but there's also even an increase in tumah, and we'll see why we did that. Obviously that's only gzeirah d'rabbanan, such a thing is impossible b'diraita. You can't possibly increase the level of tumah. But what you can do is, if you touch mashkin, we made a takana that mashkin always become rishon. So even if, as long as they're shayach to being makabel tumah from whatever touched them, they will now turn into a rishon tuma midrabbana. Furthermore, we also made takanas in certain cases, which we already saw back in Brachot, in the dinim of the Suda. We already made takanot, and in certain cases, a kli will be makabel tuma from mashkin. And again, since there are mashkin that really can be makabel, can be matami a kli, like mashkin hazot, and so on, this is not an impossible modality. The Chachamim therefore utilize it in order to create certain gezeret for whatever reason. There is no, doesn't have to be a relationship between the modality of truma and the reason, tuma and the reason for the tuma. But we certainly need to have some pathway of making gezeret. You can't create something out of whole cloth. We need to know that tuma is emitted in this fashion. So now comes along the Shmoneh Esrei Dover to tell us that someone who eats an ochel rishon, so the correct way to say it is ha-ochel, which is the verb, ochel, which is the noun, ha-ochel, ochel rishon, ha-ochel, ochel sheni, so someone who eats ochlim, which are themselves have been makabel tuma now from an av, and they've become a rishon tuma. Or he eats, and again, he's eating chulin, because chulin can be a sheni, in that it's makabel, a tuma from a rishon, it just can't be possible as a shlishi. So he eats a ochel sheni, or hashoteh mashkin tmeim, he drinks mashkin that are tmei on any level. Here we don't have to distinguish between rishon and sheni, because mashkin are always rishon. So mashkim to me, these people are going to be posel satruma b'maga. So entirely aside from sulkvia, which is an isra v'achilat truma, under the similar circumstances, there's a new gezerah in the Yudches Dvarim that these three people, these are three of the cases, will be matame the truma b'maga, and not really matame, but as the Mishnah introduces it, posel as a truma b'maga. In other words, that truma can't emit that tuma, even if it's in contact with something that would be able to be makabel tuma from a shlishi, such as kodesh. The shlishi, which is truma, is not tame, and therefore it will not be matame kodesh, because it's only close. Another case that they were gozer, and we're going to discuss the reason for these gezerot of the Yudches Dvarim in a moment. Someone who went to the mikvah and was then went into a pool. And he basically wanted to get clean after going to a filthy mikvah. But if he goes into a pool of mayim she'uvim, he then becomes tamei. So he would have to go back and he'll pass on truma. So if his intent in this tefillah was to become Torah for truma, it's not going to do him very much good to go into a pool. He's going to have to go into the mikvah again.
Goes into the mikvah, for example, it's okay.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. First, let's just get the general idea.
The bath also a mikvah?
Yeah, we'll talk about the details. Let's try to get a general idea, because sometimes people find this confusing. So if we just get the general idea, then we'll zero in on the prati din. Someone who was tahor and didn't go to a mikvah, this is the fifth case, someone who was tahor and didn't go to a mikvah, but happened to take a shower. Nafla roshav rubo shoshalugi mayim shuvim. So three lugin of mayim shuvim that are poured over him, he becomes tamei. Again, we'll see why. Hasefer, and that is any one of the kitvei hakodesh that touches truma, is matame the truma. Pasul the truma. Not really matame, but the truma now becomes unsuitable for achira. Vehayadayim, and this is now hands in general, stam yadayim, so any hands that you haven't washed now to make certain that they remain tar from the last netilah, those yadayim are going to pasul truma. The hatful yom, which is strange because the tful yom is a din d'oraita, and the Gemara is going to say that tful yom is not to be included here in the list of the yudket dvarim. It's only included here because, in fact, the tful yom pasul truma. The Mishnah is talking about a lupus v'mata truma. Doesn't necessarily mean everything in the Mishnah is one of the yudket dvarim, but in terms of yudket davar, forget about tful yom. Ha'ochlin v'hakelim shenitim u'b'mashkin. And again, you may have over here mashkim that would not have been able d'oraita to pasul something, but nonetheless, they created with the Yudches Dvarim a situation where food that comes in touch with ochlin that had been turned into a rishon, or even with kelim that normally can't be makabel tuma from a rishon, none that we saw before back in Brachot, there's such a thing as a shulchan sheni, which doesn't make sense, that could be a shulchan sheni. Have the machlokas like Shammai and Beit Hillel. Are you allowed to use a shulchan sheni to eat on? That was the machlokas about whether you put your wet paper napkin, your wet napkin rather, on the shulchan or on the chair. How do you have a shulchan sheni? There's no such animal in your item. However, because of the Yudket Dvarim, where kalim can be makabel tuma from mashkim, there exists now such a concept. Okay. So we have over here nine cases, and these nine cases we're going to discuss first before continuing, because they all come from this Mishnah. Man tana ha'ochel ochel rishon v'ochel ochel sheni mifsel pasle temuye lo mitana. First, we'd like to make certain that we understand who is the tana that says that someone who eats, whether a rishon or a sheni, will only pasul truma, and he will not be able to be matame truma, because you might think that there's a difference between ochel rishon and ochel sheni. And ochel sheni, I understand. If he becomes now, so to speak, a conductor of the ochel sheni, I understand why he only pasuls truma. But there's something that's troubling us over here. The reason it's troubling us is because We know in Tumat Gviyat makes a serious difference, according to Maimonides. What's troubling us is that it seems to be Maimonides. If you view the person who's eating something, that the way in which we make the gzeira is that he becomes the equivalent of the food that he's eating. Because that's what you're saying. If he eats a sheni, he still passes truma. So, but if that's the case, if he eats a rishon, he should be matame truma. And if you're telling me that he doesn't express what he ate, but he goes down one level, then if he eats the ochel sheni, he shouldn't pass or truma either, because you can't pass or truma if you're less than the sheni that you ate. Here, we're asserting in this Mishnah that whether you ate ochel rishon, whether you ate ochel sheni, you're still going to pass or truma and not be matame truma. Now, who is the man the Amar who says this strange combination? Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, it's going according to Rabbi Yoshua, the Tnan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon, the Ochel Ochel Sheni Sheni. Oh, now that makes more sense. Here we're saying that actually the Gezera, there's a Gezera on the body of the person who eats, his body becomes essentially an expressor of what he ate. So if he ate Rishon, his body becomes a Rishon, in which case he would be Metame Truma, in which case the Truma would become a Sheni, and it could then be Pasol, other Truma, to be a Shlishi, if you hold that Ochlin or Metame Ochlin, which itself is a Machlokin. If he eats a Sheni, so he now becomes an emitter of Sheni, in which case he can only Pasol Truma. If he eats Ochel Shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. Now the shlishi is not noger truma at all, because truma will not be makamal even psul from a shlishi, but it is noger kachim. So kachim that is noger but shlishi becomes now a psul as a revi, so to speak. There exists a concept of a revi which is possible for kachim. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. So this clearly is against the Mishnah we just read. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is a big difference between an Ochel, Ochel Rishon, and an Ochel, Ochel Sheni. But Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and this is why Rabbi Bar Bar Chana identified the Tana of our Mishnah as Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ochel, Ochel Rishon, the Ochel Sheni is a Sheni. And strangely enough, if he eats Ochel Shlishi, he becomes a Sheni. Which is really weird. And of course the Gemara analyzes why this is true, and we had it in Chulin, and says again, what's the modality for such a thing? The modality for such a thing is that it's possible to be chozer, to make something tamei as a lower level of tumah by a higher type of tumah through mashkin. Because if you could be matame mashkin, the mashkin would go up to a rishon. The mashkin goes up to a rishon, and it would be nogeya betruma. It would make the truma a sheni. So therefore, we give the person who eats, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Ochel Shlishi, the same dinim that we would have had in his ability to be metame, as if he's being metame through mashkin. Again, these are not our sugyas, so it's not that important to get into the, we had this in Chulin, to get into the details of the machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Eliezer. But indeed, the Gemara goes through in detail exactly these questions, which they argue with each other and say how illogical and inconsistent the other's positions are. And each one explains why it is that he reached these particular conclusions. So he becomes a sheni lekodesh if he eats ochel shlishi, alibid Rabbi Yoshua, but ain sheni letruma. I mean, in that case, he certainly didn't go up vis-a-vis truma, and he becomes, as far as truma is concerned, he's completely tahar if he eats ochel shlishi. And the question is, how did he eat ochel shlishi, since there's no such thing as ochel shlishi? Now, of course, we could have said that he ate truma, that was shlishi, but we don't want to say that, because that's an isser. You know, we always look for a way of explaining something which it's normal and acceptable. I mean, how did a person come to eat ochel shlishi? Ah, by eating chulin shenasa ataras truma. So what it's telling us is a libid Rabbi Yoshua, is that he holds that there's such a thing as chulin shenasu al taharat truma, in which case it was your chumrah to treat your chulin with the dinim of truma, and therefore that chulin enters into a set of chulin which the Rabbanan gave dinim of truma to, But obviously they didn't give dinim of Isurim to. They only gave dinim of Kabbalah Stuma to. So you're not doing anything wrong in eating it. And they say, you became Tomei. I say, okay, the heck with it. What's the point of keeping my Chulin Batayra? I'm anyway Tomei. So then you eat your Chulin and you, and then it's Tomei. Okay, so you ate it.
Attributing this din for Yeshua, is that saying that he was
well,
in the
Egyptian? We'll see when we get to the description of the historical events, which we're getting to.
And Yeshua is saying that if, whether it's Rishon Sheni or Shlishi, we treat him like a Rishon.
No, we treat him like a Sheni.
We treat himself like a Sheni?
He's always treated like a Sheni. For anything. Except where it's not nogeas, such as by truth.
Well, the reason Uncle Shane is shaming that he's the shame, not the
correct. And he's a shame. Okay? Now, let's get into the explanation for why we would do these weird things. So, Ochel Ochel Rishon, Ochel Ochel Shane. My time goes to Be Rabban and Tuma. Why were we Gozer Tuma that such an individual could be Mitame Truma Bimada? The reason we did it is because the zimnin de'achil ochlin tamei. It's possible for a person to be in a position in which he was eating ochlin tamei, figures that he basically, okay, he put it into his mouth, and now, you know, that's done with. Now he picks up a cup of wine of truma, and he drinks his truma. Problem is, of course, b'niraita, he figured, if we wouldn't have had this gezeira, what does he care? I mean, tummy food, kulin, doesn't have any impact on me personally. So now, as a Kohen, he continues now to drink a cup of wine. A cup of wine is, of course, truma for him. It's where he would get his wine from. So now he drinks mashkin of truma, not realizing that he still has food in his mouth. And it turns up a shari lepume. He now puts that wine into his mouth and ends up parceling the truma in his mouth, if possible. So in parceling the truma in his mouth, Rashi says he will be over on the din of Mishmer Trumotai. Mishmer Trumotai means he's supposed to be taking care of truma to make certain that it doesn't become possible, which the obvious question is. I mean, Rashi doesn't have to look to Mishmer Trumotai to find a reason for us to bake this gezerah. You're not allowed to eat truma that's tameh. So if he's forget about whether he made the truma tummy, he's drinking this wine. The wine is going to become possible. Why is Rashi talking about Mishmer truma tai? All of them, of course, have a difficult time. There's a lot of different suggestions to what Rashi is doing over here in throwing in a Mishmer truma tai. But one very reasonable suggestion is that the shaila of whether Mashkin or Metamin is actually a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and others. And Rashi wants to say, I'll leave it a kulit alma, this part is true. In other words, we don't have to assume that mashkin are mitamim midiraisa. It's my focus of mashkin, mitami over midiraisa. So even if you hold the mashkin are not mitamim midiraisa, there's an ancient takkara that mashkin would be mitamim midirabon. In which case, in practical terms, you wouldn't be allowed to utilize this truma. Mishmeret truma tai might mean to make certain that my truma remains usable by whatever standards you're going to apply. So even if you apply standards that are not usable in the rabbanon, it's no longer mishmer truma, because bottom line is you're not going to be able to use this truma. So it would still be a violation of mishmer truma. Okay, that's a possibility again, and it's not directly what we should concentrate on right now. But the fact is, one way or the other, in making that truma tameh, he's going to be over on an Isser, and an Isser D'Oraita, and therefore we were gozer that he should never think of drinking a cup of wine of truma after he ate food which was stomach. Even though D'Oraita, that's not an issue, we've made it impossible for him. He's going to stay away from truma if he's going to be eating things that are tameh, and therefore he won't come to such a situation. And how come the next case, Shotem Mashkin Tmeim, my time of Gazu Beirabana Tuma? Why did we do the other case in which he's drinking wine that's Tameh that he can't eat truma. Why is that? He can't touch truma. Why is that? Because, same thing, zimna deshata mashkin tamei, he might be drinking wine that's tamei of chulin, v'shakal ochlin de truma, and take perhaps some food of truma, v'shadi lo fume, who possibly would possibly the food of truma. Now, wait a minute, I know how, but that's the same thing. That's not a separate, you're listing yudchet dvarim. I mean, you're telling me one takonah, a guy who has something, ate something tummy in his mouth, whether it's liquid or solid, whatever, we made it clear that he shouldn't come in contact with the liquid or solid of tummy. Why is that two different things? It's not the same thing, because you need to take another step in terms of the gezerah, because ma'atatema ha-shchichi v'lo-lo shchichi. It's very common to drink when you're eating. It's not very common to eat when you're drinking. So therefore, perhaps the Chachamim wouldn't have been gozer on the first one. Kamashma never goes on this as well. V'havaro shavru bo b'mayim she'uvim. My time of God's rabbi rabbi.
Is it possible he can have water in his mouth and eat, but it will run out? If he has liquid in his mouth.
Is it a possibility?
If he has liquid in his mouth.
This is a coffee drinker? Is this part of the problem of drinking tea, maybe? I don't know. Ask any coffee drinker. He's got it worked out just fine.
So a certain amount you need of. You need a decent amount. You need any little amount.
That's a shayla, which is some learners, the difference between Tumaskviya and this particular tumor. It's how much do we really chayshish you would come to day two. So again, let's leave that. These are complicated enough for a moment, then we'll get a chance to go into them more deeply. Habaro shoveru bo b'mayim she'uvim. My time ago, Zubair Abban and Tuma. And what about this business of taking a bath after going to the mikveh, going into a pool? Is that so bad? Omer Abivi, actually, the Shalah says this is to be pronounced Vevoi, not Bibi. But I mean, in modern terms, I mean, not to say Bibi, it's just impossible. Omer Rebbe Vevoi, Omer Ravasi, Shebitchila, Ayutovlim, the name Na'arot, Lechunasim, Usruchim. It was very common in those days for mikvaot to be in cisterns with which the water was really disgusting. And because of that, they would have an arrangement in which there would be a shower. I mean, they didn't have running water for a shower, but they would have this watering can, basically, and somebody would pour Hayanotim alayim shloshalugim mayim shuvim afterwards to clean them off. V'itchilu v'asum keva. And they started believing in them as part of the process. We'll see what that means in a moment. Therefore, gazu alayim tuma, there were gozer tuma on them not to use it, because they were afraid they were going to end up not being tovel properly. When you say they made it keva, what exactly does that mean? My keva. Omrabaya. Shahayu Omrim, people came to believe that lo elu v'tari, ela elu v'elu v'tari, that it wasn't the water of the mikveh that was mitahir, it was the water of the mikveh followed by a shower that was mitahir, because that's what they always did. Omar le Rava, so, my nafkamina, who cares what they believe? I mean, as long as they first went in, they went into the mikveh, and then they showered. Is that so terrible? As long as they kept going into the mikveh. Ela amar Rava shayu omrim lo elu mitaharim, ela elu mitaharim. That they came to believe that the mikveh wasn't mitahir, but rather dafka the water of the mayim she'uvim was mitahir. Now here there's a big machlokas how to understand this. I mean, it's very, very strange to say that they came to believe that you didn't have to go into the dirty water, because why did they think they were going into the dirty water to really appreciate the shower that was Matayah? The shower being the Matayah, but or Mikra, Alamitov, Achosha. So get yourself real dirty beforehand. And then God, it's crazy. How did they come to believe such a thing? What would be the charge of such a thing? So it's interesting that the Rambam's approach seems to be that the problem over here is indeed a problem of belief, and only belief. What is it Nogea belief? In other words, they held there was a two-part system to Tyre. What was the ikar of the two-part? Of course, it couldn't be mavata for some weird reason. Do I know why God has these weird halakhas? He said you have to first get dirty before you get clean. Okay. But I mean, clearly the cleanliness is the of the essence. But if that's the case, then that means that the kavanah, the etat tefillah, was not on the dirt, which was the real mikvah. Since legabe, truma, and kochim, you need to have kavanah. So this would be mevatel tefillah for truma and kochim. So therefore they were gozer, if you're going to be eating truma and kochim. That you're going to end up being tomei for the truma and the kochim. According to this, there was certainly no such gezera, binogea, anything that doesn't require kavanah. So for instance, a woman who's going to the mikvah in order to become tahora for her husband, where there's no need for a kavanah of tefillah, that's just a bit of fooling. So what's the difference? What she believes, so fine, so she believes she needs to take a shower, nothing bad about that. So there would be no problem in showering afterwards. However, Rashi seems to suggest that b'mrutzat hazman, there was the chance that people who came to believe this nonsense that you need a shower may end up ultimately building conservative shuls and so on, in which somehow or other it's clear that the Rabbanan actually were telling us that cleanliness is next to godliness, and they gradually were moving people away from the dirt of the Maran. Now that we have such fine swimming pools, we should be total in a swimming pool. So they'll put a swimming pool into the shul and collect money for the mikvah. You never know what these Jews are capable of. The Chachomim, being aware of this mad tendency of Jews to come to these kind of conclusions, ended up ushering through creating a tuma. But if that's the case, there's only one sheet that it holds this, but naturally the Ramah focuses in on it for Ashkenazim. And that, according to that, it would mean that the takana was to be mavato, but then of the tefillah of an individual who actually would go and take a shower after the tefillah. And so because of that, there came to be those who were machmir, bedavka, not to shower. Now, the pashas, all of this, these dinim, again, are dinim only in terms of tumah v'tahira. So to say that for takanat ezra, for instance, somebody who wants to be machmir to be to tire himself as a balkari because of the takanat says, I mean, if you hold like the first sheet, then obviously take a shower, there's no problem taking a shower.
Because
it's nothing to do with the tumah v'tahira, really. It's a special dinim carry, which we found in the Kabbalat HaTorah as well. It's not dinim for truma and for kachin. It's just a special halakha that was made as a parallel to Kabbalat HaTorah.
It's a tumah
that's fine, but again, we don't care about that. Remember, a zov shirah carry. The same thing. You say, what's the point of being the tires carry if he's a zov? That's not the issue.
It's not
the same thing. We're interested in a specific idea. There's a concept of not being a balkari. The question over here, I mean, they certainly, again, unless you learned a strange shita, but they certainly didn't say, okay, we're going to turn you back into a balkari again if you went into the shower. They just be gozer, a din of tuma for maga truma, to pasul truma. If you don't intend to pasul truma, there'd be no reason to avoid a shower. Okay, again, there's questions in the, I mean, the Rav Avadya Yosef obviously is matir for everybody, to, you know, not even to think about this issue, so not nogea, yishamida, and so on and so forth. And then many are docha, those who are makbid and say that it's a halakha instead of a din in tuma v'tahira. And certainly in another room, say, you know, just go out of the mikvah, come home or something, taking a shower there, and nobody is makbid. Although, I must tell you, that the Tosis points out over here on Amud Bey that Abarosha Verubo, Bemayim Sheuvim, the Tosis says, well, I understand what the point is. If he's anyway just been to the mikvah, so then he's a Tzvulion. But the Tzvulion would pass through him in your Rasta. We're certainly not saying at any point from here onwards, any time that he's Barosha Verubo, because if so, then what was the case of Tahar Shinafala of Shor Shalokim? What do you mean tar? You mean a child who never became tamei ever, who takes a shower? Is that what it's referring to? But once a person had once become tamei, had been to the mikvah, so now he's going to be together, we note the difference. The tar, we only made a gezerah if it's no fellow love mayim shofen, not if it goes into a pool. But someone who just came out of a mikveh, we're gozer even going into a pool. So there's obviously a difference between the two cases. So how do we define somebody who's been to the mikveh? I mean, l'chora, you mean someone who that day has been to the mikveh. But if you mean in that day, then he's a tzvuyom. So if he's a tzvuyom, why do we need to make a yud ches davar? Therefore, Tosfos says we're going to have to say that the point is, and even if it's post-sunset, so there's no longer a tzvuyom, but it's the same day in secular terms. So the next day, in other words, is the day in which he becomes now a tahar, even though there's no such concept. And it's a very strange idea. Okay? So, I mean, halacha lemaisa, there are certainly those who you'll notice are makbid, will scream at people, or, why are you taking a shower? There's only a few people have appointed themselves as the shomerim of the mikveh. You know, don't you know you're not allowed to take a shower? And the answer is, no, I don't know, I'm not allowed to take a shower. But again, it's easy to confuse the dinim here of Tuma to somehow Isur.
Living says, Pittsburgh platform.
Is the name of a newspaper?
It's the foundation of the Reform Movement. Since we now have modern bathhouses, we no longer need the mikveh. That is a key part of the break.
Great.
Which is obviously wrong, because if you look at the Roman bathhouses, they were much more sophisticated than the Pittsburgh bathhouses.
That is ironic. You're right. So, okay, so we said Bar Rosh Merubo should become now Tame in terms of Maga, passing through the Maga. Tar should not flow Rosh Merubo Shlosh Lugim Mayim Shuvah. Now, there's no possible reason to justify that. My time goes better, but certainly taking a shower is not a bad thing, is it? I mean, well, you're right. The only reason that we were gozer that is because the Eloha lo kaimaha. Nobody's going to believe us. In other words, if people don't believe that Mayim Sheuvim has the power to be Matame on some level, how are they going to take seriously a Gezerah, the Dafka, after you've been to the mikveh, then it's going to be Matame? That's crazy. So if we make an extended gezeira, which means even somebody who's tahor has to worry about being in Mayim Shuvim, so then they'll take more seriously our gezeira. Even though you may be concerned by the fact that it's clearly not the same, because as we pointed out earlier, the guy who's been to the mikveh can't even go into the swimming pool, was the guy whose tahor was on the mikveh yesterday, so to speak, that's the tahor. He can go to a swimming pool, he just can't take a shower. Again, so what the Gemara is saying is not that it has to be precisely the same, because as Tosis points out, the idea is what's the norm in which somebody will become Tame with this Gezerah after going to the mikveh. The norm was a shower, not a swimming pool. You went to a mokum of Mayim Mechunasim, there was rarely a swimming pool available, but you did have somebody there to pour over you which was the norm. So we only answered the norm. We only goes there on the norm. And that way people would relate to that norm as being metame. And once that's true, we could already extend it in the mikveh into a swimming pool too. It doesn't mean that a person would have to believe every time he goes to the swimming pool is going to become tame. Okay. Then the other case, really strange. Safer? I mean, telling me a sefer Torah would be metame, pasul's truma. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why are we pasul and truma? Ah, the reason is, Omer of Mesharshe shebatchila hayu matzniim et ochum de truma etzel sefer Torah. They used to so respect truma that they wanted to keep the truma safe by putting it next to the sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. That way, they said to themselves, Hai Kodesh, Hai Kodesh. The Torah calls Truma Kodesh. So therefore, this being, the Sefer Torah being Kodesh, we should make sure that it's in a holy place. And what happens? Of course, having food next to Sefer Torah seems to attract all types of organisms that like food. And once they're feeding on the food, they might find some tasty old skins next to the food. And so, Kimon de Chazer, the Ka'atuli de Pseida, when they saw that they were getting mice and rats into the Aron Kodesh, and that would ruin the Sefer either by nibbling or by droppings on the Sefer, it goes to Be'rabon and Tuma. In order to protect the Sefer, they wanted to make certain that nobody would put food next to the Sefer. And because of that, they were Gozer Tuma on the Sefer, which is not so poshut, because the Rosh says there, doesn't mean the Sefer is Tame. It means that any Truma that touches the Sefer is Tame. I mean, why would you think that there's Tuma in the Sefer? That's not the point. This has not Kamina, as we say, I have to understand the Yadayim that are Nogea the Sefer. But in any event, the Rabbanim goes at this. The next case we had was Yadayim, Stam Yadayim. Why Stam Yadayim? Mipnei Shayadayim Askaniotein. So since hands have a tendency to get all around the body, therefore, this is how Rashi understands it. We're not talking about a tumah issue. We're talking about a dirt issue. The same reason that you'll wash your hands before eating. You think to yourself, heaven knows what I touched. I don't even remember what I touched, but certainly I don't want to stick it into my mouth. So Mamela, in order to avoid the hefset of truma through being moes the truma by touching it with filthy hands, so therefore we were gozer that your hands have to be natul, and if they're not natulot, so then the truma will become tame. You don't really think seriously there's any tumah that's involved. But again, in the same way that the best way to keep you away from the Sefer, what are you going to do? You're going to tell Jews, don't put truma next to a Sefer. It's prohibited. Ah, come on. I'll wrap it carefully. So therefore, you got to appeal to their religious instincts. So you start talking about truma. Oh, truma, I wouldn't dare put something next to a Sefer because you'd be damning it. Does that mean you're true? What are you going to say? Wash your hands because it's filthy. You have to appeal to their instincts for ritual. So you tell them it's tame. Now Rashi says, "Is Rabbeim Lamaisa?" I don't know. He heard that there's some that are mefarish that were afraid you're dying. Askaniot means maybe they touch something tame. It's not that we're making now a jump just in order to protect the truma from dirty hands. So we'll say the hands are tame. That's not fair. It must mean that the hands actually touch something tummy. Rav says it doesn't make sense. If that's the case, you don't know what they touch. Maybe they touch the Navatum also. In which case, maybe your body should be tummy. Maybe you should go to the mikvah. I understand what it means that they touch something tummy. Precisely the something tummy, which is going to affect only a dime. What does that mean? That doesn't seem like a consistent gezeira. And besides, so then why would we focus on your dime? If your dime could touch something tummy, they could certainly make all of your tummy. So if your toes touch too much at all, where did you have to wash your toes? So therefore, it seems to me, says Rashi, the issue is specifically Yadayim, because they come in contact with all types of dirt. And to use them directly on Truma is unclean. So when it goes there, a Tuma, to pretend that Tuma has something to do with uncleanliness. It's very much in line with the two previous issues. Uncleanliness being confused with dirtiness in coming out of a mikveh, pretending that the mice and the rats are really issues of tuma, and the yadayim themselves, according to Rashi, in which the dirt, because of dirt, we now give you a din of tuma. Tana af yadayim habaot machmot sefer poslot tachuma. Now, a Braita says that Yadayim, that touch as a Sefer Torah, are also going to pass through Truma. Mishum de Rabbi Parnach. The Omer Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Ochanan, Ochez Sefer Torah Arom, Nikbar Arom. Someone who touches a naked Sefer Torah will himself be buried naked. What is a naked Sefer Torah? We know that we have a mitpachat and a sefer. So if you need to touch a sefer Torah, the norm was, of course, to roll the sefer Torah, you had to hold. They didn't have what we use today in many places, or like the Sfardim. They don't have a rolling device. The rolling device is to move the actual scroll, the parchment. How do you hold that? You have a mitpachat, which in the Sephardic Sefer Torah hangs on the side. You pick up the mitpachat and you move it, but you never touch the Sefer Torah without its clothing, so to speak. So we're calling that arun. Someone who would touch a Sefer Torah with his bare hands shall be buried naked. Mita geneged mita. Arun sal kedaita. I mean, what, you mean literally buried naked? And it seems a little bit, you know, it's just not appropriate. Because, I mean, it's not such a chomer issue that we're going to say that should affect his burial and so on. Elomer bizera arun bala mitzvot. It means naked in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam HaRishon, as Rashi explains. You're artiloim and I'm mitzvot. I gave you one mitzvot. And now you don't even have that? Below mitzvot? And you're saying the guy loses all the mitzvot he ever did? That's totally crazy. He's going to die without mitzvot because he once touches the Sefer Torah without the mitzvot. No, below otam mitzvot means, in other words, he touched the Sefer Torah for the purpose of doing a mitzvot. He was doing Galila, or he wanted to learn that daf. He won't get the mitzvah that he did through the disrespect that he had towards the Sefer. So it removes from him the kedusha of the mitzvah that he was doing. This is the way you approach a mitzvah, to treat a Sefer Torah in that fashion. It's that type of thing. So because of this, because Rabbi Parnach was makbid on the touching of the Sefer Torah, they made a gezeira of yadayim that touches Sefer Torah. But not because a Sefer is posel, that it posels truma, because the tumah is not in the Sefer Torah. Now, the question is, Tosis is bothered by this, because we have a rule that anything that posels truma is also mechayev nitilat yadayim. So what's the point of this additional piece over here? There's a general rule that kol posel is truma is matame is a yadayim, and you're now going to have to need netilat yadayim. I mean, what it's saying over here is just part of an overall halacha of kol posel is truma. So I mean, that's true. Kol posel is truma is matame mashkin yosfil, right? So why wouldn't this be true? So Tosfos says that may be a tindafka because of Kodesh. That wouldn't necessarily pose so. It's possible to say, Adayim liyot shnios, that's true, but maybe that's tafka le'inyan Kodesh. Whereas over here we're saying even le'inyan truma. That's his chiddush Tosfos. But remember that the question over here is, would we have necessarily thought that the safer would be metame yadayim if it's only a din on the truma that was nogeh in the safer? The way in which we affected that particular takana was not to give truma to the safer. So therefore, if the yadayim touched the safer, even though the safer is passed as a truma, would that necessarily be included in the halakh of kol apostel as a truma metame yadayim liyot shniot? Does the Sefer really pass on the truma? Is it just that there's a din that the truma becomes possible afterwards? Okay, that's another possibility. Okay, so we have a particular case about someone who touches a Sefer, which is a little strange because we have a din anyway that Yadayim or Tamei. Why do we need this gezerah of somebody who touches a Sefer? Ask the Gemara, well, which one of these gezerot came first? Haigos or Bereishis? I mean, Ilei Mahog goes a Bereishis, and it would be a little bit strange to say the case of the Yudches daughter, namely Stam Yadayim. They would go to that first. So then, Hatu Lamali. Why do I need the case of the hand that touched the Sefer if even my hands without touching anything would be Tamei? So that doesn't make sense. Kivan, the half goes of Bereishis of Tulamali. Ela half goes of Bereishis. Must be that Rabbi Parnach's case was the first Gezerah, and then they added a Gezerah afterwards, and Hadar goes of Bekulu Yadayim. Now the problem is that there's an obvious answer to why we would need Rabbi Parnach, even if we had a Gezerah of Stam Yadayim. What's that very obvious answer? Let's say we had a gezerah of Stam Yadayim. Would there be any point in making a gezerah that hands that touch a Sefer Torah will pass a truma.
Because he wants to answer as a free.
Exactly. Somebody who was right now no tel yadav, so he now got out of the din of stam yadayim. He doesn't have stam yadayim. He went and he picked up the Sefer Torah and he did Galila. And now he wants to eat truma. We say to him, no, you can't eat truma because of Rabbi Parnas. But how can you figure out which one came first? By such logic, what would you need it for? What do you mean, what would you need it for? You need it because you're saying this specifically is Matam Yadayim. Even when Yadayim are not Stam Yadayim, Tosis is bothered by this. And Tosis says that, look, it's not, the Gemara did not consider it reasonable that they would be Gozer in this particular case because it's a Nilsa Delor Shkifa. Now, it's to say that Bedavka, we're going to make a Gezer about Yadayim that we're Nogeya B'Sefer immediately after the Tilat Yadayim. Once we made the Gezerah already of Stam Yadayim, okay, so we can now include in it, we're not going to make a chilek between one and the other. In other words, once we made the Gezerah for Rabbi Parnak's case, before there was a din of Stam Yadayim, now that we made a din of Stam Yadayim, we're not going to be mabatal Rabbi Parnak's case, since it's only Nogea, the strange situation where you just finished being Notel Yadav. But we certainly wouldn't have created such a case for Chathila. Elahav goes up, Reishvah goes up, Bekulo Yadai. Okay, the next case you said in the Mishnah was Tful Yom. Tful Yom. Tful Yom is the Araisa. Tzivu Ba Hashemesh V'Taher. Only after Biat Shemesh does he become Tahar. You're right. Samini Kan Tful Yom. Cross out Tful Yom. It doesn't belong. You're not from the Mishnah, obviously. As Tosis points out, because the Mishnah wasn't talking about the Yud Ches Tova. The Mishnah was just describing things that are metame. But from the list of Yud Ches Tova, exclude Tful Yom. That wasn't the Gezerah, that was the Arise. The next case he said was, Ochlin Shenitma'u B'mashkim. When you say mashkim, that's an awfully broad word. I mean, what kind of mashkim do you mean? Mashkim demar. Ilema b'mashkim haba'im machmat sheretz. You're saying, you had one of the mashkim that touches a dead sheretz. Now, a dead sheretz can be matami. A dead sheretz is an abatuma. That can be matami mashkim. But you're right. Those mashkim become an abat, become a rishon matuma. But you're right. If they're a rishon matuma, you're right. They'll pass a truma, they'll be matami truma. But you're right. So, say, well, what does that have to do with the gzera? That's the right. The Torah says specifically that anything that you're going to drink, so, and that's talking about a sheretz that falls into the tanur and so on. So that can't be the case. The case over here is where somebody before Nitilat Yadayim, which the Rabbanan now said you're Stam Yadayim or Tamei, he now dips those hands into mashkin, and then these mashkin become tamei from those yadayim, and comes along now the additional takana to say that those mashkin that are boy machmat yadayim are also going to be matame the truma, to pass the truma. The next case was kalim shenitbu b'mashkin. How did How did you get from where? Look, I see, I'm not going to understand your question, so I'll simply repeat what we just learned. Okay. I don't know what you're referring to. We said that there's a gezeira of mashkim, that they can, mashkim somehow can be metame, right? So the Gemara, well, obviously mashkim be metame. I mean, what mashkim? Mashkim touch the navatuma, sheretz? Obviously mashkim will be metame truma, that's a deraisa. No, the chiddush over here is mashkim that come from stam yadayim will themselves be possibly the truma. That's how the chumra of stam yadayim now is expressed one step further. They get now that, well, they actually get the din of a rishon, it doesn't matter. They pass the truma only.
Because it's
right, they're only pass the truma. The next he said was Hakelim Shenitmahu.
What is that phrase?
Because since we're not going to make a gzera on a gzera, but since it's possible for someone not to be careful about mashkim that touched a sheretz, and that would be metame midioraita, so therefore we want to make certain that a guy doesn't get close to mashkim tameim. So we were those are even mashkim that became tameim through a lack of netilat yadayim. Kalim shenitmu b'mashkim, again, kalim became tameim with what kind of mashkim? But the mashkin demai, ilim of a mashkin dezav. What a zav spit on these kalim? Is that the case? So then that's a dioraita. The Torah says beferush b'chiyarok hazav v'tahar, the bechibes begadav v'rachash v'mayim v'tamei ad ha'arev, and we even darsh their mashe beyat tahar to meiti lecha batahar. Now this is unimportant for our sugya because mashe beyat tahar is a completely different limud that teaches us the halakha of tumas masa. And we're not talking about that over here. We bring it in because we were being gozer. We were quoting rather the Gemara Nida, so we brought this here. But it's a fair shaposik that a zov that spits on something is matami, even something that's on a makapa tuma from an avatuma. So what do we need a gzera for? No. The mashkin haboy machma sheretz. Here the mashkin that can be metame a kli are mashkin that are metame midioraita, but they're tame only as a rishon l'tuma, because they themselves touch a sheretz. But a rishon l'tuma cannot be metame a kli, because kli and adam is only mekabel tuma from an ava tuma. We needed, therefore, to make a gezerah. Why did we make the gezerah? We made the gezerah Mishum mashkim dizav, since lamaisa it is not all that rare, and we know that a modality exists of tumas mashkim, namely some spit from a zav, which lands on a kli. There's a common enough occurrence that the kli will become tamei midioraita. We were gozer that even water or other mashkim that are not an avatuma will be metamei tailing. Fine.
So this some
for the purpose of possibly tuna. But there's some that will be metame even midioraita. But again, the gezerah was not to give them the din of a rishon. The gezerah was to pasul truma, and therefore people would be zahir about mashkin. So they wouldn't come to actually ever being in a position of having mashkin that would be metame minad. Okay, that's the first nine cases. Now, you're telling me, says the Gemara, that the din of Yadayim, Tamidei Shammai v'Hillel Gezer, the whole story about Aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiah was a story of the Talmidim of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. They had a vote, and it says that there were more Talmidim of Beit Shammai there, and there were Gezer Yud Chesvar. But we know that Hillel and Shammai personally were Gezer the din of Tumat Yadayim. Not the Talmidei Shammai Vela. The Tanya Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, the Yosi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, made a very early Gezerah of Gozru Tuma al Eretz Ha'amim. They said that going into Chutz La'aretz is a Suffolk Tuma at all times, because they're kover indiscriminately over there. And since a Nochri can be Metame B'maga, Midiraisa or B'masa, they were afraid that Kohanim that were knowing to walk in and out to Chutz La'aretz across the border and so on. There were a lot of issues for crossing the borders, we saw in Shias. So they were Gozer Tuma on that Eretz Ha'amim, just for coming in contact with it. Ve'al Klis Chuchit, glass coming into very common use, used to be a rare situation. The Torah never talks about glass in terms of Tuma. So there were gozer tuma on klis kuchit to give it a din similar to other kalim. We'll see later on what kalim they made it similar to. So there were gozer on klis kuchit. Shimon ben Shetach tikein ktuva l'isha. One of the gzeres of Shimon ben Shetach was to be metaken. This doesn't mean literally it was metaken ktuva, which is an ancient Moar habitulos, means he was betakein, that the woman could collect the ketuva automatically as a lien against all the property of the person. The reason he made that takana, surprisingly, was not to make it easier for a woman to collect, but to make it more difficult for a husband to divorce. It's very strange how it developed, because since originally there wasn't a lien, so what happened is people would set aside a specific bank account for the ketuvah, because otherwise there's no way she could get her money. The only way that you had a ketuvah was by having her get money through basically having a, you know, a wallet that had that money set aside. The problem is that once you have the ketuvah money in escrow, then the moment he gets angry at her, he says, okay, you know, just take it. Ouch. So writing like this, he's got to worry about his suit. And forget it. It's not worth getting divorced. Keep it in court for 20 years. But if he's got the money's already set aside, it's already in escrow, he's not using it, it's basically out of sight, out of mind. So what the heck? The moment he would get angry at his wife, he would come too easily to divorce. Because of that, he made an interesting takana, which made it easier to collect in a sense, but therefore made it more difficult to pay. And by doing that, he protected the marriage. And he also was gozer at the same time. He was a tika ketuvat isha, and he was gozer tuma kli matchot, which is strange, because metal papers certainly were tamei midiraita, as we know from clay media. And we'll see in the Gemara later on, this is talking about melted and reformed kli matchot. Shammai v'Hillel, but this is the only point that we're trying to get to for our sugya. Shammai v'Hillel gozru tuma al hayadayim. Now, if they were already gozer tuma al hayadayim, why is it showing up as one of the Yudchet Dvarim? Since Shammai v'Hillel were before Hananiah ben Chizkiah. V'chi tema, maybe you'll think that doesn't mean Shammai v'Hillel personally. It means Shammai v'Siyato, v'Hillel v'Siyato. It means together with their Talmidim. And indeed, perhaps they were even present in the Yudchet Davar. So when it says here in the Mishnah, talks about the Yudchet Davar, it means there were at that point already an extended Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Shammai v'Hillel personally were involved, because we never would have said Shammai v'Hillel Gozru if they hadn't at least been there. So okay, they were there. No. Because Amar Rav Yonah ben Shmuel, Yudchet Davar Gozru, ube Yudchet Davar Nechleku. There were 13 arguments here which needed to be brought to a vote. And Shammai v'Hillel, 18, I'm sorry, and Shammai v'Hillel personally never argued in 18 things. Because we know that Hillel v'Shammai lo nechku ela b'shlosha mekamot. There were only 3 arguments between Shammai v'Hillel. And if you would include the Yudchet Davar, and you would claim they were present in the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, then there would be at least 18 that they argued in. The Omer Rabuna b'shalosh mekamot, and nothing else. V'chulo v'tulo. V'chitema atu inu gozer litlot v'atu tamidayo v'gozer lisrov. If you try to get out of it by saying that Shammai v'Hillel indeed made a gzeir on stam yadayim, but only to give them a din of a suffix truma, so that you wouldn't be allowed to eat the truma, but you couldn't burn the truma, because it was always a suffix, but they weren't gozer truma v'adait. Comes along now the Yudchet Varim and said, well, we're going to have to view it as an actual clear-cut tumat vadai, then the problem will be that we know that's not the case, because Ilfa said, Vamar Ilfa, Yadayim Tchilat Gezerah Tanusrefa. From the very beginning we had a Gezerah of Tumat Yadayim, which was not Litlot. The Gezerah never was a Sufik Tumah, the Gezerah always was a Varai Tumah. So how do we explain the fact that the existence of this Gezerah was well known before the time of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, and you're including it in the Yudchet Dvarim? Answers the Gemara, Ela atu inu gazur v'lo kibluminayu, v'atu tamidayu gazur v'kibluminayu. In fact, there was a history to this Gezerah, and we'll see tomorrow that the history goes back well before Shammai v'Hillel themselves, and they were gozer, And at that time, nobody accepted their gezerah. As we know, a gezerah that never is mitfashed, it's never acceptable in the kahal, it becomes bottle. And Bezin will check. You do a survey after a year following a gezerah to see whether the gezerah is taken hold. The gezerah is not taken hold, the gezerah becomes bottle. So even though Shammai V'Hillel attempted to make a takana earlier on about Yadayim, it never took root. The people ignored it. Therefore, the Yud Chet Avar had to reinstitute what was already done by Shammai V'Hillel. Tomorrow, we're going to see that actually there was an earlier Gezeler of Netilat Yadayim from the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and explain what the gradual development of this Gezeler was. Meanwhile, it's pretty late, so we'll have to cut it here.